peace. In your heart, you'll have peace. So being in the time frame we are, what's going on in the world around us, I was thinking back and I was remembering, do you remember 9/11? Do you remember there was an aftershock that lasted a little while afterwards? Do you remember in May of 2002, I think it was May 2nd, but I'm not positive, of 2002, the state of New Hampshire's iconic formation fell off the side of Cannon Mountain. The old man fell off the mountain, the rocks that came tumbling down. In 2008, we endured a very struggling economy. And by 2010, we were healthy and booming again. And I'm mentioning all of this just to simply remind you what you already know, that this virus will not last. If you have your message notes out, or if you don't, here's the time to pull them out and just simply write down and to remind yourself, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Remember that verse from Psalm 23:4 that says, even though I walk through the valley. It's important we put in that word through. We're not there to stay. We're not going to camp out forever. We're walking through the dark valley. And I will fear no evil. Why can I fear no evil? Because you, O God, are with me. Folks, friends, we are in a valley, and we will walk through this valley together. When we look at history, what we discover is epidemics grow, they increase, and then they do plateau. It's a bell curve shape. They start, they increase, they grow a little bit bigger, and then they inevitably do decline. All the steps being taken right now by our president, by our governor, by our health officials are all about trying to lower that, the peak of that climax of outbreak. Many of those steps, as we know, are such common sense. Like this whole idea of quarantining. If you have the virus, stay home. If you're unsure and you're feeling pretty lousy, it may just be a seasonal flu, but stay home. Let's stay and keep as many people healthy as we can. Some people are self-quarantining because they recognize they're in what's called the vulnerable state, right? So they may be in a place where they're more vulnerable. So self-quarantine is a great idea to protect you and to keep you there and to keep you healthy. That's the objective of all of these things that are going on. Wash your hands a lot, right? We're probably using more hand soap than ever, but wash your hands and keep washing your hands on a regular basis. And keep track of the idea of this whole idea of social distancing. This is a new phrase to me, but as I've learned about it again and heard it, social distancing, you know, keeping a 6-foot kind of personal space around you as you're even when you're talking with people, and it may seem a little awkward, but for some it's actually a pretty normal thing to have a little bit of space. This whole idea of 6 feet of space is okay. As a matter of fact, now I will just share with you, I was talking to someone this past week, and I said, yes, social distancing, this whole idea of, you know, keeping people 6 feet away. And he just looked at me, and, well, he was a local kind of, I'll say, New Hampshire guy. And he just looked at me, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to let anybody get that close. So just think about that. Anyways, I'm sorry, that's my bad humor as we go on here. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. There's plenty of space here as well. Probably more space than there is in your living room. Okay, so, but again, I'm glad you're joining us online for this. This whole idea, right, as we think about and what we're learning about this virus, just like every illness, there's one similar thing that they all have in common, and that's simply not everyone is at equal risk. Again, I want to remind you that not everyone is at equal risk, because the facts are really clear that the history of the coronaviruses, all of them, place adults under 60 and children are, if they don't have any pre-existing conditions, health conditions, they are at very low risk to serious matters. They may get it and they'll experience it, and it could be a really bad, you know, it'll be a bad cold, it'll be a bad, we know, experience, but it's not life-threatening for most all of the population. But there is a population that it potentially could be life-threatening. And that is the population, the most vulnerable, that we want to make sure we protect, right? And if you have a pre-existing health risk, which, or you're over 60 years of age, this is the category that we're saying. They're saying you need to be very much aware of this and make sure you're social distancing and being very careful. And we just encourage that. Know that as a church family, we want to encourage, we want to support that, and we want to help you stay healthy and keep everybody healthy. That's one of our objectives. So please, as we're going through this, it's not just a physical health that we need to be concerned about. In the days and weeks ahead, we also need to be thinking very much about how we're feeling. What are our thought patterns and what we're doing? So as you're thinking ahead, as you're each day when you get up and think about it, make sure you're getting your information. Get your information from a reliable source. A reliable source. Beware of who you're listening to and what you're listening to. Not all information is equal in how it comes across. You know that. I know that. If you've been surfing on Facebook or anywhere on the media, you know that there is different levels of this, right? So be wise about the information that you are consuming, and be wise about how much information you consume, because too much of anything will make you irritable and could cause you to get angry even, or you know, if you soak up so much news, it will increase your anxiety and your fear. So moderate your intake of social media and media, and if you do that alone, I guarantee you'll start to feel better emotionally. Right. A couple of verses I just want to remind you of. Proverbs 13:16. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. Proverbs 14:15 says, only simpletons believe everything they're told. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. Think about what we're doing, how we're feeling. How are you feeling right now? Because whatever you are tuned into, it will influence your feelings and your mind. Neurobiologist and scientist Dr. Carolyn Leaf tells us that we can take control of our own thoughts. And she explains that the electronic connectivity that happens in our brain happens in such a way that every 6 seconds, you and I have an opportunity to shift and redirect our minds, to mindfully focus your thoughts, which result in a positive influence to your feelings. So every 6 seconds, we have an opportunity to do this, according to the science that we currently have. So the question comes back to us and says, what are you tuned into? What are you paying attention to? How much media are you paying attention to? And how much are you doing? Because if you're soaked into the conversations of all around the crisis, I guess I would do this. I would say, I challenge you to simply set a timer to track the minutes that you're spending with media and see what happens. See how much time you're spending there. All of this that's going on causes us to really pause. And what it's really doing is it's uncovering and unveiling for us, where do you find stability? What do you anchor yourself to? What gives you strength and security? Where do you find encouragement? What is your security anchored to? Is your security anchored to a job? The government? Leaders? Is it set on our accomplishments or even your family? Those things are all valuable. They're all good things. They're important things. But when it comes to securing your mind, your heart, your soul, none of those will give you true security. So here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to anchor your mind and your soul to God. Anchor your mind and your soul to God. Focus on God's grace. Focus on God's truth. Focus on and shelter yourself in God's love. God's love for you. Shelter yourself. Put yourself in that. And no matter what you're going through, trust. Trust that God is going with you through it. Knowing that God is with you is not an emotional feeling. You may not feel it in some way. Because God is not a feeling, God is a presence. So every crisis, every situation, every circumstance, every phase and every stage that we have, that we go through, that you go through, God will go through it with you. You're never alone. God is with you right now, wherever you are. Right now, God is with you. Let's look at a passage, Isaiah 43:2. This is one that I go to personally in times like this. When you pass through waters, when we're dealing with danger and difficulty, when you pass through waters, it says, I will be with you. That's God will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will. When it feels like it's overflowing or it's gonna overwhelm you, they will not sweep over you. God is with you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, is with you. Wherever you anchor your thoughts and your mind, your emotions are going to respond accordingly. Wherever you anchor your thoughts and your mind, your emotions are going to respond accordingly. So the author of Hebrews tells us how to connect with, how to anchor our thoughts, how to anchor our mind, where to place our mind toward and focus on. And he talks about the unchanging nature and purpose of God. Let's look at Hebrews 6:17, part of 18 and 19 here. You can look it up in your Bible at home, and just this is a great verse to go in and actually underline if you haven't already done so, and read this passage right here. Hebrews 6:17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. If sometimes we say, well, where is God? What is happening? God is saying, I want to make it very clear to you. We who take hold of the hope offered to us. Have you taken hold of the hope that God has offered to you? Here it is. I'm going to unpack this for you. May be greatly encouraged because we have this hope that is an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. When you anchor your thoughts, when you anchor your attention, you intentionally invest time staying anchored to the hope that is firm and secure, the steadfast presence of God, and you anchor yourself in the salvation you have through Jesus Christ, you will experience, when you do this, you will experience a marked improvement in your attitude and lower your anxiety. It will extremely lower that. When we do this, 2 Corinthians says this, fix our eyes, not on what is seen, not the stuff that's going on, the problems that are right around us, but rather fix our eyes on what is unseen, on this hope, on this promise that God has for us. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I know when we're in the temporary, sometimes it feels like a long time. I'm not good at waiting in lines. But focus on the eternal. Focus on the unseen, the presence and power of God. You know, in the days ahead, if you focus on God, if you focus on Jesus, it will give you confidence and it will give you stability. But so I'm going to give you a couple things to do. When you start to feel anxious, choose to pray. See, these things will change that attitude. It'll give you that six-second mark where you can change your thoughts and move them in a helpful and constructive direction. When you feel anxious, choose to pray. You know, just start telling God what you're thankful for. Make a list. Put a list down. Write it somewhere, maybe inside your Bible, maybe inside or on your phone. Maybe have that list come up first thing in the morning and just say, what am I thankful for? This morning, I mentioned earlier the whole idea of it's spring. We saw a cardinal. We saw goldfinches. When I walked outside, the birds chirping, just where it was a great atmosphere, and it was that reminder that the seasons are changing, that we are moving ahead, and I'm thankful that God is with me through all of this, and that God created this incredible creation that we get to live in. When you feel anxious, choose to pray. Shift that to prayer. When you start to worry, choose to worship. Choose to worship. Now, you might say, well, what does that mean? I'm doing it right now. You're here with me now, and that's really good. That's the one step. But here's another way you can do it, and I do this on a regular basis, all the time, I should say. You know, I even do this in the kitchen at home. I tend to do this. I'll turn, not that I'm worried, but if you had my cooking, you might be worried about it. But anyways, but if I start to feel worried, choose to worship. And what I mean by that is simply this. turn on some music. That I call it worship music. Now, there's all sorts of different types of worship music. It might be organ music, but for me, it's K-Love streaming radio. I can get that right here. I can get it everywhere. I can get it on my smartphone. I can get it, or there's a number of other places that you can get it. You can get Air One is also more local, and you can listen to that. But stream some music. Listen to some music that's worshipful music that turns your heart towards God. Worship. So instead of worrying, when you start to worry, just shift that gear and move it right into worship. And that will change your attitude. That will change how you're feeling. That will bring you to a better place. You know, friends, every generation has and faces hardships and uncertainty and difficulties. And I've never seen anything like this. But remember, this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. You know, throughout the Bible, there's a consistent theme that in days of difficulty, we find over and over God reminds the people that he is with the people as they go through times of difficulty. There's a passage from 2 Corinthians 4 I want to share with you. Just think about this. It says, when we are hard-pressed on every side, you may be feeling that right now. You may be feeling hard-pressed but not crushed. When we are perplexed, I'm not sure what is going on or what the next answer will be or how this is going to shape out or how long it's going to last. I don't know any of that, but not in despair because I know who I'm grounded to. I know who I'm anchored to. If we're persecuted but not abandoned, here, we've got to rest on that word, underline that word in your Bible, not abandoned, not abandoned. God is with us. We may feel like we're struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because we know. Because we know the one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's talking about Easter, but it's that revelation to us that God is going to raise all of those who are followers of his. And they will join him in eternity, for eternity in heaven. See, the reality is, if you're a follower of Jesus, you win in the end either way. No matter what the results is, no matter what happens, you win either way. That's a great thing. And friends, here's something else to remember. You probably know this, but let me remind you. Even when we don't know what the future holds, when we don't know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future. What we know about God is that he came to earth as Jesus. He taught and he modeled a way to live a thriving life. And he was prepared, and as he was preparing to go home, that is into heaven, he empowered and he told his followers, he said, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said that, love one another as I have loved you. And this means that God has bigger plans for us than just to protect you through this crisis. This means that God wants to use you and I through this crisis. He wants to use us. You know, this is one of the differences between followers of Jesus Christ and other people and how they handle a crisis or uncertainty or a difficulty or when they are in pain. As followers of Jesus, this is an opportunity to demonstrate God's love. Historically, if we look historically, Christians have always moved into the crisis when others walked away, right? When the Black Plague ran through the Roman Empire, they had no knowledge of viruses, bacteria. They didn't have medical technology like we have. They didn't have anything like that, no scientific tools to deal with it. The people panicked and the people fled out of the city, but it was the Christians who moved into the city to take care of the sick. And you know what? The actions of those Christians is what converted the Roman Empire. It was the loving, compassionate actions of Christians. That is what invented hospitals. Hospitals are not an invention of governments. Hospitals are an invention of compassionate, loving Christians. For years, we have. I saw that actually so relevant on a thing called Mercy Ships. It's a medical ship that literally travels around the world and goes to do loving acts and caring surgeries for people that many times it's life-saving for them. Things like groups like World Vision, who we've supported here at our church for years, they do so much. And it's not, they go far beyond just sponsoring children, which is a fabulous thing and a very exciting thing, but they also supply water systems, they supply health care, they have a whole five-fold ministry that they are doing to help people become healthy. And they do it all based out of Christian love and the love of Jesus Christ. That's why they do what they do. Just recently, demonstrating the love of Jesus, the organization called Convoy of Hope sent truckloads of supplies to the tornado victims outside of Nashville. Friends, as followers of Jesus, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us to anchor ourselves in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and to respond with love. We are to be wise. Certainly we are to be wise, and we are to be careful, and we are to take care of ourselves, and we are to take care of one another and the people that God puts in front of us. But keep in mind Romans 8, 28 and 31. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God's at work in all of this. God is at work. God is the one who is helping us get through it. God is the one who is reaching out to one another. He's causing us and motivating us to do that. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? I know that God is still at work right now. This is an opportunity to open yourself, to be used by God, to share his love. And if you do this, it will bring you a sense of peace. You'll have a peace in your heart that comes from Christ. Right now, we're in this place where every one of us, I could say, we're in two categories. We either need help or we are able to help. So working together, we can help each other. And let me tell you how simple we've made this whole process for you. Whether you need help or whether you would like to help. Here's the thing. If you are in need, perhaps you're self-quarantined, perhaps you need someone picking up your mail or doing some other things, maybe your groceries, maybe you would like someone just to phone you a couple times a week and just talk about the signs of spring or talk about some things, just to touch base. Maybe that's what you'd like. Here's what I'd like you to do. Go to our church's website. Go to our church's website, which is newhamptoncc.org. Use the link that says looking for help there. Click on that and go to, you'll see helping hands. Scroll down. There's a great big green question mark there that will come up. Just under that, there's a little blue bar that says register here. Click on that and then you can type in your name and it will say, how can we help you? There's a drop-down menu. When you click on that little bar, there's a drop-down menu that has a whole list of ways that we are willing and are set up and we're working on so that we can help you. Pick one of those. And you can even, there's a whole box down below that says prayer request. You can enter prayer requests right down there so we can be praying together through this whole thing. If there's a need that isn't on there that you have, let us know. Friends, this is an incredible opportunity. An incredible opportunity that you can help someone. And as a matter of fact, you can help someone without even leaving your comfort zone. That's what's so amazing here. Maybe you're able to tutor a child. Right? You could do that remotely from your home. If you can help someone, maybe with a technological question, or if you can pray, and you're willing to pray. If you can make a meal. I mean, we even put a category that says, I want to help to do whatever is needed, because we've got several people that just said, whatever is needed, I'm ready. I want to go. I want to help. Right? That's the kind of church family we are. And if you're familiar with us, you know that that's the kind of church family we are. And if you're willing to help, and I hope you are, because I think this is such a great opportunity for all of us to help at your comfort zone and in the place where you're comfortable, again, go to our church website. There's that little newhamptoncc.org. It says looking for help, and then go to click on more information. You're going to see the helping hands page. Scroll down to, it's like a thought bubble. How can I help? Under that blue register bar, go to that information, and then you'll see you can insert your name, and it says, I can help by. Again, that drop-down menu, there's a whole list of things, and you can just say, this is what I want to help by, right? It'll give you so many ways that we can help so that we can coordinate and work together to help one another. That's what this is all about. We can coordinate it and help together, help each other get through this. Friends, this is really the easiest way that I've ever seen that we can share God's love and help one another. So go to this website and register with us so that we can help each other and spread the love of God and share the love of God with one another right where we are so that we can move through this valley. And as we're moving through, let me just tell you some things that our church, we have been doing. Right now, our director of church, children and family ministries, has been putting together weekly packets. It's got crafts, it's got some scripture in it, it's got something for the kids and the families to do, and we're mailing it out on a weekly basis. So you're going to be getting packages coming to your house that you can do, and you can, as you're staying home, it'll give you something to do together. Also, on our website, there's also a really great activity that families can do together. So click on that. There's a video on there. It's going on. There's going to be a new one every week that you can add in and you can do with your children. It's a lot of fun to do. Friends, take advantage of also the resource that we have as a church family that's called Right Now Ministries, Right Now Media. There are literally thousands of possibilities for you to engage in with and through this media. All sorts of studies, all sorts of just hearing other people speak and talk about their experiences and help us move through and give us a place of anchoring ourselves in God's Word. If you don't have access to Right Now Media or you've lost it, just email me. I would love to get you connected to that so you can use it right where you are, wherever, and with whatever devices you want to use it with. It is absolutely amazing, and it is life-changing, and it will empower your life. You know, the other things we're doing as a church family, if you're part of a life group, several of our life groups have moved to using Zoom to meet so that we can have face-to-face conversations with each other as well so we can stay in connection. We've even started a Facebook group. So there's a lot of things going on and some more things that we're going to be rolling out to stay connected and support one another. See, I've been your pastor for 20 years. We've gone through a lot together. We are going to get through this together. I just want you to know that. As we do, keep these things in mind. God is still God. God is still God. Maybe when you wake up in the morning, you can say that to yourself. God is still God. And remember, 1 Corinthians reminds us that you are not alone. It says, now you are one, you are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are not alone. When you're part of a church family, we are connected. We are connected and we are part of a family. You are not alone. We're going to communicate with you regularly through email as well as being right here on a weekly basis, but we're going to communicate during the week through email. So if you received that email from us this past week that said, please update your information so we have the most current information and email for you, please make sure you have done that. That is going to be very helpful today and in the future. If you did not receive that and maybe it got caught in the spam filter, maybe you're listening today and you're saying, I've never even been to this church, but these people, I just, if you would like to be on our email list, it's that simple. Just simply email our church office and send it to us. Go right on the website. You'll find where you can connect with us and just say, I want to be part of this. Just send me your emails. I'd like to be updated on this, and I'd like to know what's going on a regular basis, and perhaps even sign up and say, I know I can help in this way or that way. We're just going to ask you to help in the ways that you're comfortable helping so that we can, in fact, be the hands and feet of Jesus, so we can express the love to one another that Jesus has commanded us to do, and we can do that. That's going to make such a difference in all of our lives. You guys, this church family is so good, so very good at caring for one another. In the days ahead, we're going to need each other. So register with us so that we can help one another. Keep that information up to date for us. That's going to be important. That's the way we can know how we can help you, and we can know how we can help others. So keep that information up to date. Friends, it's interesting because as we're meeting today, we're meeting in homes all over this area, a lot like the early church. The early church met in homes all over Jerusalem and all over Samaria. They didn't have this kind of technology. They couldn't do it this way, but they were meeting all over in homes. We have the advances of technology. We have all of these advantages that make it so easy for us to connect. And yes, feel free to keep your slippers on. It's okay. John recorded, and maybe this is the heart of this message. John recorded Jesus giving his followers instructions. And he said this. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another." We've just made it really easy to love one another through passing on information. How can I help? What do I need help with? Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Just sign up, because that way we can connect it together. I really pray that we'll have so many people signed up, that we'll have all sorts of people that are willing to help. And maybe we'll have too many people. But let's try. Don't let that stop you. Sign up. "A new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." This is an incredible opportunity for us, you and I, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love one another. This is so easy. This is the news that brings comfort. This is the fact that will put peace in your heart. By this, all men will know, all people will know that you are my disciples, that we are followers of Jesus, if you love one another. Friends, I just pray that we together love one another and continue to do so in such a way that is a reflection and captures with that people see it and just say, "Look at those people," just as they did in the days gone by. That people express and know this is what Jesus calls us to do, to love one another. You are not alone. God is still God, and God is still walking with you. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that you would give your strength and your wisdom to those on the very front lines of this crisis. Help those who are sick. Help those that have mild symptoms or serious symptoms. Lord, I pray for a speedy recovery. Bring your healing. Use your miracle or use medicine. It doesn't really matter, Lord. I just pray for healing. And we pray that each one will come to know you in a deeper way, Lord, in your everlasting healing. I pray for those who are anxious and scared to open their minds and their heart to you. And may they trust in you. May they learn about Jesus and the mighty and wonderful life that you offer for each and every one who choose to follow you. God, help us to anchor our minds, our soul, not in the media, not in social media. Help us to anchor our hearts, our minds, our soul in you, Jesus. Jesus, help us to know each and every day that you are with us. Help us to place our security and our trust in you. And as we do, we will experience your peace. Almighty God, give us the courage to love one another. And let your light shine, your love shine through us. And let it shine and pierce right through the darkness, giving us courage to help one another, and may it reach into and encourage others as we help each other and we serve one another. And Lord, I just pray all of these things through your peace and through your presence, and in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I look forward to hearing from you this week. Feel free to email me. Tell me how we're doing well, or how we can help you, or if there's how you would like to help others in our community. Please email us and let us know. Register first on that. Give us that information. But if you have something that you would like to tell me, please feel free to email me. And if you'd like to tell me what color your slippers are, feel free to do that as well. I'd love to hear from you. Until then, God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Hope to be in touch. God bless. Amen.